I said a while back that it's been 20 years of ministry. I've either written or preached through most of the books of the New Testament. I've never really conquered Romans as a book. This week, as I was doing my devotionals, Romans really hit me. It is like the best letter ever written on the planet. Okay, it is full of truth and theology. Scores and scores of Christians have gotten saved reading this letter. It's a phenomenal letter. And I thought, I wish we met every week so that I could preach it every week as the whole thing. But I'm going to do it every 2 weeks, and hopefully you follow along. Has anybody heard of the Romans Road?
Yep.
So should I test your memory or should I just help you out here?
Okay.
So the Romans Road is the gospel presentation you give to someone from the book of Romans, outlining why we need a Savior and that God sent a Savior into the world. So the first one is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. Every single person. Paul does in chapters 1 and 2. He shows that the Gentiles and the Jews have fallen short of the glory of God. And that's what sin is. Every day we fall short of the glory of God. However, the wages of sin is death. So we're all guilty sinners. That's Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 says, anyone know that one? The wages of sin is death. So What you and I deserve because of the sin and falling short of the glory of God is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? So God gives a gift. Romans 5:8 says, this is the third point of the Romans Road, God demonstrated his love for us, and while we are still sinners, he sent his son to die for us. Okay? We're sinners deserving death. But Jesus, Romans 5:8, takes the death in our place. Okay. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. I'm going to go there because this is incredible truth. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So there's the gospel. You're a sinner, you need a Savior, Jesus is it. You need to confess him, receive him, believe in him, and you will be saved. It's not a mental ascent. It's a real, heartfelt receiving of the truth of Christ and all he's done, and receiving him into your heart so that he transforms your life and takes away your sin and gives you new life through his resurrection. That's the gospel message in the book of Romans. Excuse me, it's in many, many books. But nothing really is so clearly presented as in the book of Romans. And we're going to start right in chapter 1 with Paul's life. So let's go to Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. And I'm going to just spend the whole morning in these first seven verses and just kind of dissect this text. I'm reading from the New American Standard, which I believe is closest to the original Greek, which is what Paul wrote. Paul, a bondservant or slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through whom? Jesus Christ our Lord. We have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among you, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the introduction to the book of Romans. In there is the whole book of Romans. Let's pray. Father, we need this truth. We need to understand it because you wrote it. Help us, Lord, to receive it into our hearts and our minds that we might be able to articulate the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world. Time is short, Lord. We all want our loved ones and our friends and families to know you personally. But I pray, God, that we would really understand the good news of Jesus Christ and what it's all about, so that we can communicate it to others, Lord, and invite them as you invited us and Paul and all the Roman believers to real faith and real life in Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us that we might know you and know the good news to share it with others. We pray it for your glory in Jesus' name. Paul, a bondservant, a slave of Christ, called and set apart. Incredible truth right there. And this is the gospel. You know Paul, right? You know what he was? You know he was a Pharisee. He was very well educated in the law. He had given his life to the Hebrew faith, the Jewish religion, and was actually, if you read Acts chapter 9, where he got saved, was on the way to arresting Christians to put them in jail. That's how passionate and zealous he was for what he believed, which was a lie. Okay, it was religion. He was in love with religion. He was in love with religious thing, the practices, the ordinances of it, and he was completely lost. Even though he was a devout Jew who knew the scriptures inside out, he was lost. Okay, and all that training and all that devotion, he says in the book of Philippians, was garbage compared to knowing Christ. In Acts chapter 9, maybe you know the story, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus showed up in his life through this flaming light and said, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you so hostile to me and to these believers of mine?" And in that moment, when he was blind and finally had the gospel revealed to him, and the calling and the awakening and the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Jewish Messiah, everything changed. When that happened, everything changed, okay? And he realized after many years of following Jesus and putting together what he believed for us through the Holy Spirit, we got to remember that. This is not written for the church of Rome. This is written for us because it's the Word of God. Amen? This is what he writes. "I'm a bondservant, a slave of Christ Jesus." This is an amazing way to see ourselves. I don't know if you see yourself like that, that you belong to Jesus. The whole gospel is this, okay? You were dead in your sins. You could not do anything to save yourself. Nothing. You still can't do anything to save yourself. There's not a person on this planet that can do anything to save themselves. Regardless if you're the best Jew on planet Earth or the best Catholic or the best Baptist, it doesn't matter. Okay? If you don't have Jesus as your servant, your master, you're nothing. Okay, you're on your way to hell. Just going to lay it right out here, the truth of the gospel. We need to have a rude awakening as to what the gospel is. Paul sees himself as a slave or a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He once served the Jewish faith, now he serves Jesus. He realized that he is called, okay? He's called. He worked with a whole bunch of other people who weren't called. He was called out of the world, out of that religion, okay? Who called? It's not some voice in the sky. It's the Lord God himself says, "Paul," because, I mean, this is the way it happened to me. I don't know about your testimony, but Jesus showed up in my life and called me out of that false religion and all that, self. He called me out of myself, trying to win myself to the Lord, trying to get myself to heaven. He called me out of that lie, okay? He called me. And we're all called, he says in verse 6, twice. Did you see that? You also are the called. We got to see ourselves in these texts. The called of Jesus Christ, verse 7, to all who are beloved of God in Rome and called. Friends, if you're here today and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've been called. Okay, literally called out. We are the church, ecclesia, the called out ones. That's what it means. The Greek word for called is kletos. It's the same word, ecclesia. Okay, we are the called out ones. What's the difference between us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior and the church up the road who are on their way to hell? They don't know Jesus. They have not been called out of the world into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? This is the gospel, friends. He uses the word here, bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart. Set apart. It's an amazing word. Literally, there's so much. You know, when you study the word, it's so phenomenal. The word Pharisee, the Pharisees were a called out group. They were assigned the word of God and to enforce the scriptures on people so that they obey the word of God. That was their calling. Okay, he was called into that, studied at a very famous teacher, Gamaliel, at his feet, and was raised as a Hebrew and one of the best tribes you could be. And he had it all. I mean, he talks about it in Philippians 3, right? Like, I had the best pedigree. I was from the best tribe. I had everything. I was the Jew of Jews, he says. And I was called out, and I was a Pharisee, which means I was set apart for a very specific task in Judaism. But then he encounters Christ, and he realizes, wait, God called me out of that life to put me in Christ. And he put a hedge of protection around me. That's what set apart means. He put boundaries around me so that I could not go out and I would only serve him. Okay? I was not a Pharisee anymore. The Greek word literally means I'm like a Pharisee for Jesus now. Okay? It's that kind of word. It's like I've been bought and paid for and set apart, and I've been recommissioned to serve Jesus instead of the Jewish faith. Okay? It's a complete transformation. And he talks about it all the time. And if you read, you know, Romans, Acts 22 and Acts 26, when he goes before these different officials and he gives his testimony, it's phenomenal. You got to read Acts, beginning of Acts 22, the beginning of Acts 26. He keeps repeating his testimony. Guys, I was killing Christians. I was arresting them, putting them in jail. I was so zealous for the things of Judaism. But now I'm a slave of Christ. I'm a slave of Christ. And it's phenomenal. This is my testimony. I'm not as radical as this guy, but he's my hero. I don't have a lot of heroes, but he's a hero. Because I want to be like him. Because he was called and he was set apart for the gospel of God, for the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ has so apprehended him that he became zealous and a crazy preacher for Jesus. And that's what we should all be once we discover the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 5. We have received grace and apostleship. He's saying, what did all this? What was all this about? What caused this major transformation where I jumped ship from Judaism to following Jesus with my whole heart? It's grace. Mm-hmm. It's a free gift. Okay? Whatever you want to call it, it's not me that did it. Okay? I cannot save myself. It's the sovereign call of God on an individual's life to say, now's your time, awake and receive the good news of Jesus Christ. Now you have a choice. Either believe or reject the truth. By the grace of God, he accepted the truth and he was transformed. And literally, he's out preaching the gospel shortly after that. The revelation of Christ came in. He was awakened. He was born again. He was filled with the Spirit and he was a new creation in Christ. Okay? And he's out. His old life is over. This is the gospel, friends. It's no longer I that live, he says. It's Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me. Okay? It's a whole new life. Go to Galatians 1, 15. I want you to see something because I'm going to really push your buttons here this morning. If I haven't already. Galatians 1:15, or even 14. Well, let's go 13. He's so clear about it over and over. This is his testimony. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, Galatians 1:13, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But, see who I was before? I was a zealous religious fanatic. But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. There it is. That's what happened, friends, to Paul. So it happened to me. Did it happen to you? When he had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Okay? Grace is a call. The call goes out, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. You're a wretched sinner. You need Jesus as your Savior. Come to Jesus. And Paul says, I'm going. I got to respond to the call. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's drawn to Christ. No one comes unless the Father draws. The call goes out. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He will take away your sins and give you new life. Come to him, and the Spirit pushes you to go and answer the call. Okay? That's how the gospel works. If you're here today and you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can say the same thing as what Paul is saying right here. You were called. When were you called? From the foundation of the world, the Bible says. From my mother's womb. Do you know how often that's repeated in Scripture? Do you know the first chapter of Jeremiah? Jeremiah is called from his mother's womb. Do you know what David says in Psalm 139? Every day has been ordained. For my mother, you formed me in my mother's womb. You knew me before I was even conceived. You know me. You know my whole life story. You got it all laid out. Every day has been ordained for me. Friends, this is phenomenal that God would actually set me apart from my mother's birth. Stand up here today. It took me a long time to get to that point and say, yes, Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but I praise God every day because I was a sinner on my way to hell. And then one day the light of glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ came into my life and I'm awakened and I'm a new creation in Christ and I don't want anything to do with the past life. Okay? That's what happened to Paul. Did it happen to you? I hope so. And there's only one response to this, friends. There's only one response when you realize that Jesus came to give us life, to take away our sins. Worship. It's the only thing. It's the only proper response. And I'm going to show you that here. Called us and set us apart. We have grace, okay? Paul's very clear that grace is a gift. He didn't earn it. There's nothing he could do to earn it. All his religious devotion was meaningless. And watch what he says, verse 5, to bring about the obedience of faith. Why are you saved? Why are you saved? To obey God. Okay? That's what makes you a servant or slave, whatever your translation says. Okay? If you call yourself a Christian and you're not obeying God, you're not a Christian. Okay? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, don't do what I say?
That's good.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
There's only one kind of Christian. It's a Christian who obeys God.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't call him master and not do what he says. Okay? So there's lots of people out there, they call themselves Christians, but if Jesus ain't their Lord and they're not listening to his voice, they're not Christians. Okay? Is that clear? You cannot, after you encounter the risen Christ and the glory of Christ and receive the revelation of the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus, you cannot continue your life in sin. Okay? You cannot. It just means that Jesus means nothing to you. The cross means nothing to you. You live, verse the end of 5, for his name's sake. You become obedient. Faith produces obedience. Did you know that? If there's an obedience problem, it's a lack of faith. Think about that. To bring about the obedience of faith, or a faith that comes from obedience, some translations say. Obedience that comes from faith. Obedience comes from faith. Why? Because I realize who God is. Faith, I must put my faith in a God who is who he says he is. And if he is who he says he is, I must respond by obeying him. Because he's Lord of all. He's King of the universe. He's God Almighty. I must obey him. There's only one response to that. Among all the Gentiles, for his name's sake, and I live for his name, not my own name. Okay? I live for his glory. Friends, that's all through Scripture. I can take you through a ton of Scriptures. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. Your new life in Christ is to live for Jesus. Okay? That's it. Now watch this, verse 7. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called to be saints. However, that translation's, I want to show you something here. You're beloved, you're called, and that saints, that word saints literally is holy. Okay? You are, if you're in Christ, you're beloved, you're called, and you're holy. You're set apart. That's what holy means. You've been set apart, you've been called out, you're separated from the world. If you continue to love the world more than Jesus, then you prove you're not of Jesus. So John says, all these scriptures, all this New Testament actually starts to make sense when you understand the book of Romans. Okay? Even in the first seven verses, it's all there. The whole gospel is there. The whole New Testament's in those first seven verses. So, are you called? You have to ask yourself that. Am I called? Did I respond to the call? Did I hear the call of God? Come to me. Come to me. Come to my son. Okay. When he drew you to Christ, did you say, yes, I want Christ? I understand what he did for me. I understand the cross. I understand his blood shed for me. And that the wages of sin is death, and that if he doesn't pay it for me, I have to pay it myself at the end of time. Okay, that's what the message is. And if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. That's the truth of Scripture. It's faith. Where does faith come from? Not from yourself, friends. Ephesians 2, it's a gift. He even gives you the gift of faith to believe on the message he's proclaimed to you. Okay, this is all God. We're dead. We can't do nothing to save ourselves. Okay, nothing. If you hear the gospel and you run up to the altar, it's not you running up. It's the Spirit of God has prompted you to open your ears, and just like my wife at 9 years old, okay, she don't understand what the gospel is all about, but she knew that preacher was preaching. She's a wretched sinner at 9 years old. She needs to run to the front and receive forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we just celebrated this morning. That's what the gospel is. That's the only thing the gospel is. New life in Christ. That's what the gospel is. If you don't have new life in Christ, you're dead in your sins. Are you called? Are you beloved? Friends, this word here, I mean, it's that famous word we like to use, agape, right? It's an interesting word. I'm going to shock you this morning, because you're going to go through it in the book of Romans. God does not love everybody the same way. Okay? He cannot love everybody the same way. If you understand covenant and what he did with his son to shed his blood and invited you into that covenant because of his love, okay? God poured his love into our hearts. He doesn't do that for everyone. Okay? He does it for you when you are called and you respond to Jesus, you say, yes, I want Jesus, I believe in him, then he pours his love into your heart. Now you are part of the beloved. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. 1 John 3:1. Okay? We are the beloved. He loves the world. But he loves his kids a lot differently than he loves the world. Just like you do, right? You'll die for your kids, but you're not going to die for the stranger's kids or the murderer's kids or all the other evil people's kids, right? Like, let's just acknowledge he loves his children more than he loves the world. That's how he demonstrated his love for those individuals who are called and chosen, by dying for them. Okay? And we have the grace, we have received grace to say yes to that offer. Finally, you're saints, you're holy, you're set apart. The same as Paul, almost the same word, different word, but it has the same meaning. You've been called and set apart because you're beloved. And that's what. How does he end this section? Grace and peace. You have received the grace of God, you received the peace of Christ, because he's now ruling in your hearts, because there was enmity between you and God. Now you have peace through Christ with God. Okay, that's the gospel. And it's all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message. Those are the first seven verses. Okay? It's the whole book summarized. And then he's going to start to unpack what all that means. So we have Paul is called and set apart, and he finishes with the Roman believers, which is us also called and set apart. But what's in the middle? Verse 2, 3, 4. He promised the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You know that, right? All through the Old Testament, Jesus has preached. Right? Isaiah 53, Isaiah 9, Isaiah 7, Jeremiah, New Covenant, all this stuff. It's all over the place. All the way back to Genesis 3:15 when he promises the seed of the woman. And all through, you know, Genesis 49, where he promises the Lion of Judah. Like, it's just all through the Bible. The Old Testament, Paul says in Galatians, is a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. Hey, Jesus is proclaimed in every verse. So his prophets proclaimed Jesus, said he was coming concerning his son, who was a descendant of David. We read that in the Old Testament, according to the flesh, okay? David, out of David's seed came the Messiah, according to the flesh. That means just the flesh, the body. Okay, which made him what? The Son of Man. His son became a man through the seed of David. And he was declared the Son of God when he rose from the dead. So he's the Son of Man and the Son of God at the same time. He's fully man and fully divine. That's what that text is saying. Okay, it's just the whole gospel laid out right there in the open. And he's going to go through that in this book. And what's linking Paul, who's called set apart, and us, who's called and set apart? It's Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the same Jesus. Okay, put your faith in Jesus, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. He's both God and man. Mm-hmm. He came down as a man to do what we could not do for ourselves, to take sins of the world, all of us, every single one of us, not just past, present, but also future. The sin you're going to commit tonight and tomorrow, he's already paid for that. So that's why Paul can get to Romans 8 and say, there's now, therefore, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Amen? Because it's already bought and paid for. You're a child of God. God loves you. He's called you. He set you apart. He'll continue on in Romans 8 and say, you're glorified and sanctified, and you're all these ifides, which I can't remember right now.
Justified, sanctified.
Thank you. Thank you. Justified, not guilty. Sanctified. Glorified. There's four of them in it, but anyway, that's the truth, right? It's like this crescendo after saying, what a wretched sinner I am in chapter 7. And chapter 6 is phenomenal, where we're dead to sin, alive to Christ. Sin no longer has reign over us. You know, don't let sin be your master. Let Jesus be your master. Just like, this book is so incredible. It's like the whole thing. If there's one book, if you ever get thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, sneak Romans in your back pocket. You could feed on it for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you watch prisoners get saved. And jail guards, just like we read about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I want us to really understand. If you're sitting here today, just like Paul, you've been called and you've been set apart. And why is he set apart? To preach the gospel of good news. Okay, the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what he did in my life. That's your mission, friends. You live for Jesus. Do you know that? I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I realize there's nothing in this life. There's nothing the world has to offer me anymore. Like, I just want Jesus. I want more of him. Because everything I want is in him. And it's beautiful to know him. There's nothing greater than knowing him. And that's what Paul's testimony is like. What was I doing? Following empty religion. And puffing myself up because I was a Pharisee, a Jew of Jews, like the cream of the crop. What was I doing? I thought I was all that in a bag of chips. Now I'm nothing in Christ, but I'm everything in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the truth of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want us to understand that before we go forward, ask yourself, have I confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Okay? And if not, well, there's going to be 16 chapters, maybe 3.5 years of opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus, meaning twice a month. Anyway, I'm going to stop. God is so good. You know what? It's phenomenal that I'm standing here today, that at 33, 34 years old, God actually had mercy on me and called me and set me apart. Where would I be if I didn't know him? phenomenal. Like, you ever just say, why me?
Yep.
I ask myself that all the time. There's so many people in my family trapped in religion. They're trapped in nothingness. There's nothing there. I bet you have them in your family too, right? They don't know Jesus from a hole in the ground. They think they're on their way to heaven. And they go to funerals and they say, yeah, that's true. And then they walk away empty. There's nothing there. Because the Spirit of God has not awakened them to the truth. But also, they really don't want to know it. If you seek me with all your heart, I'll let myself be found by you, he says, right?